This is a Rabble Podcast Network show. New voices in your head. It's Radio Free Radio.
You're listening to Red Eye on Vancouver Cooperative Radio, CFRO 100.5 FM.
Civil war and terrorism have displaced nearly half of all Syrians, 4 million refugees. Many are traveling through dangerous territories by foot with children, the elderly, and the injured, seeking asylum in neighboring regions. Few countries have appropriately responded to this devastating humanitarian crisis. And the need for protection is growing. In Canada, newly elected Prime Minister Justin Trudeau aims to accept 25,000 refugees in the next 6 weeks. He's called on Canadians to reject racism and to welcome those fleeing the conflict. To talk more about refugee settlements is Janet Dench, and she's the Executive Director of the Canadian Council for Refugees, and she joins us on the phone today from Montreal. Hello, Janet.
Hi. Glad to be with you.
First of all, what needs to be done to ensure Canada's swift welcoming of these refugees?
Well, it is a big undertaking that involves many different parts of society, and we're very encouraged to see how many people in many different sectors are stepping up. Normally speaking, there are organizations that are involved in receiving refugees, and it also involves, of course, institutions like school boards, health boards, etc. This time for the Syrian refugees, there are other players that are getting involved, the military, for example, Transport Canada. We're seeing much more engagement from provincial and municipal governments, and we're also receiving huge numbers of offers of from private citizens who want to get involved to offer their support and services.
You mentioned the military. What role would the military play in this?
The military has been apparently asked to provide bases, the accommodation for refugees on first arrival in Canada. That's a precedent that we used back in 1999 when Canada received 5,000 Kosovar refugees in the space of a few weeks. And in that case, the Kosovar refugees arrived, they went and stayed for a time on military bases, and then they were sent to their final destinations across Canada. And it appears that that's what the plan is for the Syrian refugees, or at least some of the Syrian refugees, that they'd be arriving on bases in Quebec and Ontario. How long they'll stay there, I saw one report suggesting some would only be there for a couple of days, whereas others might stay as long as 3 months.
Are you at all optimistic that the Liberal government can adequately address these measures?
Well, we're very encouraged to see the firm determination by the government to bring in a significant number of refugees. They have also, as part of their platform, provided that 25,000 government-assisted refugees will be brought to Canada, which is an important commitment because in the previous government there had been a combination of the commitment combined both government-assisted and privately sponsored. And what that meant was that the more the private sponsors did, the less the government did, whereas the Liberals' commitment is for a firm commitment for 25,000 government-assisted. And what private sponsors do, that's what Canadian citizens do, will be on top of that. So that's an important element of it. We also welcome the fact that the new government has recognize the urgency of the situation. Canada has been standing on the sidelines of action so far, and has not really responded to the urgent nature of the crisis. So we do appreciate that the Liberals are intending to act swiftly. For us, the particular deadline of 31st of December is not crucial. If it comes a few days after that, we don't mind about that. But the fact that the government recognizes that we need to act quickly, that there are families, individuals that are in a very precarious situation in the region. There's winter coming on. There are children that are not going to school, that are not even having enough to eat. people who have been highly affected by the conflict in Syria. So it is time for Canada to move and to move quickly.
Tell us a little bit about what life is like for the refugees awaiting asylum in Canada or elsewhere for that matter.
Well, I'm not an expert in that in particular question, but one thing to clarify is that many people imagine refugees in the region in refugee camps, whereas in fact Syrians are mostly not in refugee camps. Syrians are from all levels of the refugees are from all levels of Syrian society. So there are people who have fled Syria and who have means to survive. They come with enough money so that they can try to rent an apartment and so on in the neighboring countries. Many Syrians would be supported financially also by people who are outside. So if you're a Syrian Canadian here, for example, you might well be sending money to your loved ones in the region to help them survive.
And who is selected for resettlement here in Canada?
So there's two ways to come to Canada. As I mentioned, there's government-assisted and there's privately sponsored. So the government-assisted are recommended, referred by the UNHCR, the High Commission for Refugees. The UN, they have priorities for resettlement. There are millions of Syrian refugees, and only a tiny percentage would be referred for resettlement. So they have a series of criteria that they use, which are have been established in consultation with the government, such as the Canadian. So they look at the most vulnerable, and they'll be looking at factors such as persons who have urgent protection needs. So if you're in a country like Lebanon, but there's threats to your protection there, that would be a reason to resettle you. But it could be also because of vulnerability. So you have particular needs, maybe health needs, maybe it's a large family with a single parent, and they don't have any means to survive. So they need to go somewhere where they could have their basic needs met. There's also people who have particular health needs that would be another ground for referral. So they're looking at the most vulnerable people who need, therefore, resettlement. There's a question about the 25,000 that Canada is proposing to take, because if you're we're working in a very short space of time, there's the question of the UNHCR's resources. So they don't have the time or the resources, the human resources, to prepare the detailed referrals that Canada would normally get for government-assisted refugees. So I'm sure the Canadian government has been in discussion with the UNHCR to discuss how to identify refugees that would be not requiring the whole referral process.
You mentioned already about refugees when they first come to Canada likely going to be settled temporarily at military bases, but what else is likely to happen when they arrive?
Well, normally speaking, refugees, when they arrive in Canada and they've been resettled here, they arrive, they get permanent residence as soon as they arrive at the airport. There's a question in terms of some of the 25,000 that maybe they wouldn't have been fully processed all the way to permanent residence, which would mean that they would enter on a temporary resident permit. And so then one of the things that they would be needing to have done is the rest of the processing so that they could become permanent residents. And that's very important because it's only once you're a permanent resident that you have access to a lot of services, such as, for example, getting access to provincial health care. It can be very difficult if you're only on a temporary resident permit. But on whatever the status you've got, when refugees arrive, they need to be given an orientation so that they understand the program that they're in. Government-assisted refugees are in a program called Refugees Resettlement Assistance Program, so they will be getting a monthly check if they don't have until and unless they have another income, such as if they find a job. So they get a monthly check, which is basically the same as welfare rates across Canada. So it's a limited amount of money. So they are given orientation to help them understand that. When they're at their final destination, then they would need to have help with all of the basics of settling into a new country, opening a bank account, applying for your social insurance number, getting your kids registered in school, for the adults, if they don't speak English or French, finding language classes, and then finding somewhere to live. And that's one of the big challenges, particularly in parts of the country where there is not much affordable housing. For example, in the Vancouver area, it's a big challenge because the people are surviving on welfare rates, and so it's difficult to find decent housing with that kind of revenue.
Will the refugees, when they come here, be able to settle anywhere they want? I'm thinking of the rather dreadful news I heard from the States of something like 30 governors saying that they're going to refuse to accept refugees or refuse to help them if they come to their states. Is anything like that sort of response from the provinces even possible?
Well, I'm not sure it's possible from the States either. I don't know whether they actually have the right to tell people to go away. It's extremely disturbing to hear the very virulently anti-refugee and anti-Muslim messages, particularly from the States. I'm happy to say that in Canada, there has been a lot of enthusiasm and commitments from the provinces and also from municipalities in terms of receiving refugees. At the end of the day, anybody who enters Canada, and once you're a permanent resident, you have the right to live anywhere you want in Canada. So they can't prevent them, a refugee, from choosing whichever province they want to move to. In terms of the funding that they receive, the income support that they receive, that's from the federal government. So the federal government can issue them the checks wherever they are. But in practice, there are often problems in terms of the bureaucratic processing. If a refugee arrives in Vancouver, for example, and decides that they would prefer to live in Alberta, then they might find difficulty getting the income check transferred, and there might be a few months where they didn't have any income at all because it doesn't immediately get followed on.
Are there any lessons that the government can learn from other refugee crises that have happened in the past?
I think we can be fairly confident that as a country we know basically what we're doing. Obviously, the numbers are a bit higher now, but the basic process is the same in terms of supporting refugees in starting a new life in Canada. We also have the advantage of many people, Canadians, who have themselves come to Canada as refugees, and many of them work directly in the sector, or many of the people working in the sector supporting refugees are themselves former refugees. So you know, we know what needs to be done, and I think communities are often have programs and practices in place to make themselves welcoming towards refugees. But I'm hoping that with the increased publicity on this issue and the increased awareness, that we will, and in fact we're already seeing that there are many municipalities, many community groups that are getting together and say, okay, how can we all work together in order to make our communities welcoming for refugees? And that's something that is obviously important for the refugees arriving, but it's also in the interests of all of our communities, because the more we can support people as they start their new lives in Canada, the quicker and easier it is going to be for them to start giving back and to flourish in the new communities. One of the cabinet ministers on the subcommittee working on receiving or supporting the arrival of Syrian refugees is Mariam Monsef, who is herself a former refugee from Afghanistan. So I think that gives us hope that maybe one of the young Syrians that we'll be welcoming in the coming weeks, maybe in a couple of decades, that person will be sitting at the cabinet table.
That would be great news. Now, we've been talking about the 25,000 refugees coming now. What steps do you think the government can do to to increase our commitment to protecting refugees.
Yes, and we really appreciate the fact that the Liberal platform makes it clear that the 25,000 is not the end of it, and that point has been restated. And one of the ways in which it will go over 25,000 is through private sponsorship. So the groups across Canada are able to identify Syrian refugees that they want to sponsor or to ask for one to be identified. The government can also provide names of people, though not in the immediate term. They may be a bit otherwise occupied, but it's possible for the private sponsors to increase the numbers, therefore, of refugees that come. And that there's already a lot that are in process, and we know that there are many groups that are forming, too, that have been inspired by the events of the last few months and who want to do their part to sponsor Syrian refugees or other refugees. So I think we can be quite confident that there will be many more applications coming in, and so I think 2016 we'll see many more refugees arriving. And one of the advantages with the private sponsorship is that people can be anywhere in Canada. The government-assisted refugees are going to go to a certain limited number of communities, but that doesn't stop people in smaller communities anywhere across Canada from getting together and deciding that they want to welcome refugees into their communities, and they can do that through private sponsorship.
I know you must be very busy these days, and I want to thank you very much for taking the time to speak with us today.
I hope that it was helpful what I could contribute. Thanks for your interest.
I've been speaking with Janet Dench about refugee settlement in Canada, and she's the executive director of the Canadian Council for Refugees.